This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Money out of the bank? That's the question that many Americans are asking themselves. Can we answer that for you? That's a tough one, but I know people are panicked out there no matter what the government is trying to do. Hey, everybody, meet me halfway. That's what I say. Kate Delaney is always thrilled to be with you navigating these choppy, choppy waters. So here's the deal. Let's get the skinny on what's happened. It all started last Friday. You already know that story. And the people who had their money in the Silicon Valley Bank, they will be made whole no matter what, even if they had more than $250,000, which is the limit on the insurance that protects you. So now everybody is going to be covered. That's what the president announced on Monday. But it does. You can see online searches. It's easy to see the queries that are out there. Questions are jumping around because people are worried about their banks, right? And you saw Signature Bank also went down. So Signature, SVB, all of that. And the government took the extraordinary steps to ensure the deposits above the limit so that everybody, once again, would be made whole. So we know what caused, well, we think we know what caused the SVB collapse. Maybe we don't. It was tied to faltering tech stocks and interest rate hikes by the Federal Reserve. Most of the bank's customers were startups and other tech companies, and they needed cash after venture capital funding started to decline. So they started to withdraw their deposits to pay their expenses. And SVB apparently didn't anticipate so many withdrawals at the same time. When that happened, they weren't prepared with the minimal deposits on hand and most of the money tied up in treasuries. So they didn't have it. And then that's how you get backwards, and that's what happened there. Because they had the money invested in treasuries, and because of the Fed's interest rate hikes, the treasuries weren't as valuable. They weren't making as much money. So the bank suffered a $1.8 billion after-tax loss, and they had to sell $2.25 billion in new shares, and that spooked off the investors. So then the stock plummets. Depositors move to get their money out of the bank. Yada, yada. 2 + 2 = 4. You get it. And then that's how that happened. You saw the people waiting in line, panicked looks in their faces, and they're fine. That's the good news, because a lot of them were just small companies that had a handful of people that relied on them that they had to pay, right? And we all remember 2008, where it crushed us with the housing market, especially because it enveloped the entire housing market and it threatened the survival of the biggest banks and threw the economy into the worst downturn since the Great Depression. Remember that? The Great Depression. Well, I don't remember the Great Depression, but we remember 2008, right? It was those nonsensical, ridiculous subprime mortgages for people that were unqualified, who couldn't refinance or repay the loans. And it was obvious. And then that's the housing bubble burst, right? And then that was the pain of it all, and that's what happened. And we get it, right? Millions of people lost their homes to foreclosure. Millions of workers lost their jobs. Like $20 trillion in household wealth was wiped out. And most people remember that, even if no matter what age, right? Unless they're like 20, like my nephew, he does not remember that. I explained it to him, but he doesn't remember that. But I'll just say a large swath of us remember that. And that's the panic that is set in for most people. So the answer is, a lot of people have decided that they don't feel like they want to keep their money in the small banks, so they're pushing it into the bigger banks because they figure they're safer there. And look, this is the deal. You're insured for up to $250,000, right? That's the limit per depositor. That's what you got. But and so there are types of accounts that aren't insured, checking accounts, savings accounts, that they do insure. Checking accounts, savings accounts, of course, because of the $250,000. Money market deposits, cashier's checks, you get it, right? Deposits above $250,000 may be protected, but it just depends. So should you pull your money out of the bank? You should just know that your accounts are safe and the deposits are protected. And they are. As somebody said to me, if you're talking about more than $250,000 and you feel queasy about that, then you have several accounts. Spread it around, as the mafia would say. Spread it around if that's the situation that you're in. It's awful because, once again, we are in a bailout situation. Right? We are. And it makes us feel unstable, especially because of what happened. I mean, for example, how about Charles Schwab? They wouldn't comment, but 80% of their total bank deposits fall within the FDIC insurance limits. In comparison, 6% of total domestic deposits were insured at Silicon Valley Bank. But, you know, Charles Schwab took a bit of a hit. Their stocks went down. And so most of these big banks, they don't even want to comment on it. And the answer is, like I said, how do you protect your money? And the answer is you could have different accounts if you've got more than the $250,000. That's what you do, right? You just have it in different spots because then it would be insured someplace else. I know, crazy town, isn't it? And, of course, now there's the discussion about repealing the law that allowed Silicon Valley Bank not to have these more difficult stress tests. And Mike Crapo, his name is, he's a Republican from Idaho. He was then chairman of the Senate Banking Committee, introduced a banking bill, which was a Crapo bill, that included easing requirements for some mid-sized banks more than 5 years ago. And there were a lot of people that said, oh boy, you don't want to go in that direction. So it became a law. And that there was a provision which raised the asset threshold for enhanced regulatory standards from $50 billion to $250 billion. So that left out banks that until then would have had to operate under different rules. I mean, they would have to have these stress tests, and that would sound the alarms if there were problems. But because they didn't have to, nobody knew. So that's the big question is, when did they know that things were dicey? When did they know that all of a sudden they're flush and then, oh, yeah, it's Friday and we're not? I mean, that's the other big question on that. So will this law be repealed? You know, who knows? It's up for grabs at this point. By the way, the aftermath of the floods and the snow in the East Coast, about 50,000 to 75,000 now it's been reduced are without power in parts of the East Coast because of that wet, heavy snow. And then on the West Coast in California, specifically the Central Coast, got hit pretty heavy. About 75,000 to 100,000 people still do not have power because that's what happens. The lines come down and we know that everybody scrambles to try to get the lights back on, and that's when you're emptying the fridge and you're figuring out alternative plans. It's really tough when you can't see and you're in the dark. Meet me on the flip side.
As Dr. Wallach says, we all have nutrient deficiencies in our diets and must supplement with 90 essential nutrients in proper balances. At no cost or obligation, get a personal certified holistic health coach to help you develop a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the Mineral Doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Hi, this is Kate Delaney. I am truly amazed by this audience. Many of you have been reaching out to me to ask more on what I call the No Drone Zone. How do you find out about the show or listen to podcasts or guests or even my books? So here we go. Go to katedelaneyradio.com for more on what's shaking in my orbit. To reach me, simply hit the contact tab and send an email. Behind the scenes photos, great video, travels, the dog. Yeah, that's Guinness. He is the mascot. Go to Kate Delaney fan page on Facebook, Kate Delaney fan page on Facebook, or hit me up on Twitter at Kate S. Delaney, at Kate S. Delaney. For any of my books, including Deal Your Own Destiny, Amazon simply is the easiest. Thanks for listening as we talk about what's happening in my backyard and yours and how it affects us. We throw in laughs, cheap movie reviews, the man cave, and authors with some interesting stories to tell. If you've already forgotten everything I've just said, just go to katedelaneyradio.com.
Joins us. The name of the book is called How to Procreate a Healthy Family. And it's interesting because he had five kids, or he has five children, and the beginnings of what happened with he and his wife and how much money they had in their pocket and how they made it happen is such a fascinating story. And his book is interesting because you see that parents are struggling sometimes with kids and what happens with the family unit. And we have this great debate, and we have, I think, for a very, very long time in this country and really elsewhere where people are listening to us as well. So, Max, thanks for hopping on.
Yes, thank you, Kate, for calling me.
So, let's talk about what you told me off the air about when you met your wife and she was working, you were working, but you weren't making a lot of money, and she really had to take a leap of faith, too, to be able to let her job go.
That's right. That's right. You know, and I thank God every day. Thank you for this interview. And yes, it was a leap of faith, really, because I was making $150 a week, and my wife, my newly wife, was making like $105, $110. So I told her, I said, as soon as you get pregnant with our first child, you're going to have to quit working. He said, hold on. He said, you're only making $150. We're paying $325 for rent in this apartment, and you're telling me you're going to support me? I said, yes. Just have faith in me, and we will make it. So thank God, you know, that she believed me. You know, several months later, she got pregnant, and sure enough, she quit working. You know, and she stay home mom for the next 20 years until we program our children, our five children, you know. And then she went back to work, you know, because she wanted to, not because she had to.
Yeah. I mean, what a wonderful thing for your family. And what did you find with the children? I mean, you told me something interesting. You were talking about your daughter to me, and your proud papa, and you were telling me how well all your children are doing. But you said an interesting thing. You said, you know what? I didn't have to spank my daughter. And that's also an issue people talk about. And why is that? Because of what was happening in the house?
What was happening in the house? And then, you know, it was interesting because I never spanked my oldest daughter, and she happened to have her fourth baby a few days ago, and his name is Max. So I am so proud of my daughter, you know, because she she had this new baby, and she named this baby Max, you know. I am so proud of this girl. She's 33 years old. She has four children, you know, and she has the healthiest children in this generation. You know, a lot of people think that we cannot have a healthy family, you know, but we do. We can, you know. And if you allow me to say something about, you know, the statistics, and this is one of the reasons why my book is out there to the public. Back in the 90s, 1 out of 1,000 children, one was with autism. But you know, 2020, you can Google, this is fact, 2020, 1 out of 43.
Wow.
I was telling one of my friends, whom he's like about 64 years old, and he has the same philosophy of myself. You know, he called me and he said, Max, he said, I just bought your book. I said, great, thank you. And, you know, after explaining him these facts, and he was surprised, you know, in his concussion, you know, and I believe this information is for everybody, regardless of race or religion or whatever, you know. So I told him, I said, mister, if we do not speak up, I said, we're going to have government, we're going to be governed by people who have autism. And it's been a burden to the government. Can you imagine, you know, I said that again. In the 90s, 1 out of 1,000 children, one is with autism. 2020, 1 out of 43.
Wow, that statistic is crazy. Max, we don't want to run out of time, and there's reasons why we can't. We don't want to tell everyone everything in the book because we want them to go get it on Amazon or Barnes & Noble, or they can go to your website, maxturanauthor.com. But tell us something from the book. Give us a tip from the book that you talk about and how to have a healthy family.
Okay. Thank you for reminding me. I was going to say this. The original title of this book was is How to Procreate a Sane Family. You know, but Christian Faith Publishing Company thought that this was too offensive to say, you know, how to procreate a sane family, which is, you know, sane meaning mentally sane.
Yeah.
And we have a lot of insane people, you know, here.
Yeah.
But, you know, the very first thing, I believe, in my opinion, is the first chapter about prayer. You know, if you do the things right in the beginning, you will not have remorse in the future. You know, so to me, the most important thing is the first chapter, prayer. If you do ask, you know, we have our partner, you know, accommodated by the universe or by God or whatever you think it is out there, you know, God has the right mate for every one of us. It's just a matter of finding the right one and waiting, you know, praying and waiting for the right mate to appear. And he or she will appear, you know. But people don't have that patience. They just pick up somebody because, bodily speaking, you know, oh, I like this one because she has a nice body, or I like this one because he's so smart or he's so handsome, you know. But it's not that. We need to ask God. To me, that's the very beginning of a healthy family.
Oh, I love that you said that, patience. And the book talks about so much more. Again, the book is How to Procreate a Healthy Family. Max Turan, thank you for coming on.
All right. Thank you, Kate.
So interesting as we talk about time with family. Families are made up of all kinds of different situations now, blended families, different kinds of families. And wow, the world in the last, I mean, as always evolving, has been different in the last decade and the decade before that and the decade before that and the decade before that, too, as well. And always, I think, hopefully the goal is gosh, we all want to be as mentally as healthy as we can be and have some of those relationships that might be strained with family get better and feel more whole. It's sad, some of the epidemics that are going on around the country that we talk about, the depression that's hit so many teenage girls, and even I think teenage boys are going through the same thing. We've had many psychologists, many on this show talking about that and coming up with solutions and looking for answers and, you know, all of that in between. Just a couple of minutes left in this segment. And again, the thing that I think weighs so heavy on everybody, of course, it is the money situation and now the fallout from what's happened in the banking industry. And so there's been this push to put money into bigger banks because feeling that that's safer than some of the smaller banks as a result of what happened in Silicon Valley. And I've gotten just so many emails for many of you about that and about you know, what to do, and the fact is there was irresponsibility. I mean, look, SVB had $16 billion in unrealized losses, and you had raging capital ventures. I mean, that's pretty much, you know, what we saw there. And so the markets are feeling it, and there is this you know, kind of common theme, and the cracks are showing in the banking system, and also it's starting to show because of the fight of inflation, fighting off inflation. The rapid rate hikes are starting to be felt, and it's not just in U.S. banks, by the way, either. It's other banks. Credit Suisse is another one that's feeling the big time pressure. There's so much that we could talk about on this show, but because so many of you were concerned about that, that was a big focal point and probably will be a big focal point moving forward as we watch to see what happens on the markets and watch to see what happens with banks. All right, coming up next, a couple of great authors we're going to introduce you to next.
Anyone can fall victim to moving fraud. Know your rights and responsibilities.
There was never really a valid contract.
Movers must always give written estimates.
I was bound to an estimate, but it was after the fact.
Be sure that any document is complete before signing it, and that it includes information to determine the final charges.
It was a version that I had not seen before.
Visit protectyourmove.gov to download a free moving fraud prevention guide. Search for registered movers and view their complaint histories. Move with confidence.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA News Update. Consumer spending is expected to reach over $22 billion this Easter.
81% of Americans plan to celebrate Easter this year, according to a survey by National Retail Federation. They plan to spend an average of $177 per person and will spend the most on food, followed by clothing and then gifts. Half of all households with children are planning an Easter egg hunt at home, while the most popular Easter Sunday activities, cooking, a holiday meal, visiting friends and family. 43% of respondents plan to go to church. I'm Dave Collins.
A recent Gallup survey reveals the majority of college students prioritize campuses with gun restrictions. Approximately 8 out of 10 current and prospective college students consider firearm policies to be at least somewhat significant when deciding to attend or continue enrollment at a school. I'm Ryan Daniels, USA News.
I had no idea it would destroy my life. But before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's N-U-T-R-I Medical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to command an Air Force Special Operations Combat Air Crew? I can say I have, but in my virtual green room, I have somebody who's actually done it, and we are so thrilled to have him with us. Let me tell you, Jason Harris has a resume that is so long and so impressive, it would eat up every second of this interview, so we can't dive into his entire career. But combat 11 times. He's seen things that I'm sure would make the hair on the back of my neck and yours rise right up. 12 and a half years of active duty. He started on the C-130, and he's done so many interesting things, and he just was promoted, and thank goodness we have him in the reserves. We need people like Jason Harris. Jason, thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you so much for having me, Kate. It's an honor to be here.
So first, let's talk about your new promotion. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so I was recently honored to assume command of the 905th Air Refueling Squadron at McConnell Air Force Base in Wichita, Kansas. And that unit is comprised of pilots, boom operators, and support team members, where we fly the Air Force's newest tanker, the KC-46, where we get to pass a bunch of gas in the air from our plane to other planes, and we can also receive gas from other airplanes into our airplane to accomplish the mission.
Oh, that's so cool. How dangerous is that? I've seen that like in a Bond movie, and it didn't work out too good, I don't think. That is kind of tricky, isn't it?
You know, it's interesting. Like when I get asked that question, because I do it, I'm like, it's no big deal. But then when I start explaining this, I'm like, wait a minute. So here's the deal, man. You're basically going to take an airplane. You're going to fly up. You're going to take a plane that's about 500,000 pounds. And you're going to fly it up to another airplane that's about 400,000 or 500,000 pounds, and you're going to get this little stick that's going to shove into the nose of your aircraft, and you're probably going to be about 20 or so feet, maybe if that, away from this other airplane, and you're going to fly around at about 500 miles an hour while you get gas. It's just easy. It's just another day at the office. It's not dangerous at all.
That doesn't sound dangerous. So when you started your career, what was that like when you went into your first C-130? What was that moment like for you?
Wow. you know, I think even going before C-130s, Kate, is like pilot training. Pilot training was like one of the most challenging years of my life, because the Air Force says you start on this day and a year later exactly, you will be done. And think of it like this, from pilot training, even when I started flying C-130s, I wasn't legal to rent a car by myself without extra insurance, but the Air Force said, here, kid, here's the keys to a jet. You can fly inches, literally inches away from another jet at 300-400 miles an hour, a couple hundred feet off the ground. Good luck. Have fun. We've trained you well, right? And so it was scary. It was exhilarating. It was anxious. It was exciting. All of that at the same time, and it was so amazing to realize that I had been entrusted to do this mission and work with a crew of people that were so well trained, so professional, and it was such an amazing time.
Did you know when you were a kid that this is what you wanted to do?
Absolutely not. No. What I tell people, Kate, is that I'm number two of my mother's six children, product of three marriages, four fathers to her six children. I grew up a stone's throw away from the Black Panther Party headquarters in Oakland, California. And so growing up, I had never met a pilot that looked like me. And I didn't realize that being a pilot was even a possibility. It wasn't until I went to college that I realized that, oh, wait, there's this thing called being a pilot. And I had seen them, of course. I'd flown on airplanes, but it didn't click, right? I mean, it's like, how do you become a pilot? And so it wasn't until college that I was like, wait, these people were teaching me about being a pilot, and it was a possibility. And so I was like, well, you know what? I think I'll try that on for size.
And it worked out, and it's still working out for you. And I mentioned that you did, 11 combat missions. What were they like?
Yeah, so I did 11 combat deployments, 470-plus combat sorties, and each one was unique in its own right. You know, I started deploying in 2003, and then my last combat deployment was 2011, and everyone was different. Every time you went out to do a mission, there was something different, you know. I remember one mission and flying into Baghdad, Iraq, and we're sitting there. We had landed, and we're offloading cargo. We're getting ready to unload cargo. And all of a sudden you hear incoming mortar fire, and a mortar lands and it hits a fuel bladder and it just explodes, and you see this massive fireball, right? Like, and that was just kind of like, oh, that's another day at the office. No big deal. We didn't get hit. Let's go ahead and button up the airplane. Let's get out of here and go back to where we got to go next. Right. So,
wow.
Everything was so unique.
Yeah, no kidding. So you take all this experience and you're a professional speaker, and I can just see how you would just mesmerize an audience. And you have a lot to also offer as far as teaching when it comes to being a leader, when it comes to imposter syndrome. You know, here's the story you told about your younger, you had no idea, then look what happens to you and how you can do it and just went through and you didn't think about it. So tell us about your speaking career.
Yeah, so I was teaching at the Air Force Academy, and a good friend of mine invited me to come to Toastmasters, and then got me involved with the National Speakers Association, and we started talking, and he started asking me about these different stories that I would tell. And over the course of time, I realized that there was some power in those stories to help other people based on some of the things that I struggled with and based on some of the things that I experienced in leadership roles as well as in followership roles. And so I took those lessons of the amazing people that I worked with in the Air Force, and I began to translate those stories for businesses, for associations, to help them when it comes to their frontline employees, middle management, C-suite team members, and how do you get a high-performance team to work together to create a culture that's built on commitment, accountability, and most importantly, trust.
I was just going to get to that. So trust is definitely your thing, and that's definitely something that I see that's lacking in a lot of cultures, whether it's somebody in mid-management, C-suite, or wherever it is. How important is trust?
Trust is everything. I mean, you know, they says trust is everything. It's the only thing. You know, when we go out there to do the mission, I have to trust that young person in the back. And I want you to picture this, Kate. Picture you have a 17, 18, 19-year-old kid or young person fresh out of high school. They've entered the military, and now they're a load master in the back of that airplane, and they're responsible for more than 80% of that aircraft. And if they don't do it right, then not only will the mission not get completed, people can possibly lose their lives. And the only way that we can make that mission happen, the only way we can execute what we do every single day is by trusting people. But you don't get to the level of trust that you need if you don't have the right training in place and you don't have the right processes in place to then allow you to be able to trust that person. And yes, we trust and verify. However, if you've got the right training, the right process, you know that you can absolutely unequivocally trust that young person to execute the mission.
So that's obviously something that has to happen or might be lacking in some companies, or they're working on it. You hear the word mentorship thrown around a lot, but I don't know that they always know how to implement it. And I'm not attacking companies, because there's some corporations that do a wonderful job of it. And of course, there's always the search, the mission to search for the right. You understand missions. It's the search for the right fit. How do we do this? How do we implement that? How do you implement that? How do you get to that culture of trust? How do you start to work on that if you really feel like you're maybe at ground zero or you have a lack of trust across the board?
Yeah, I think it starts with just assessing the programs that you have, Kate, right? What I tell companies that I work with, different clients, is say, you guys have obviously hired the right people. And a lot of times we think maybe we didn't hire the right people. No, you hired the right people. But when is the last time that you evaluated what your training program looks like? And a lot of times they go, oh, well, we just do OJT. Well, let's start with the onboarding program. When's the last time you evaluated what that initial onboarding training program looks like? In the military, that's called our basic training. That allows us to speak a common language. That allows us to understand the common culture, right? To understand the ethos of who we are as an organization, as a team. And then after you reevaluate the training, then what does that process look like? And if we just start there, and so what happens, and my wife and I, we talk about this all the time when we have these various encounters in organizations. You know, when's the last time you called somewhere and you had a phone call, Kate, and you're like calling a medical facility or a hotel or something, and you want to be upset with that young person or that person, whoever they are and however they old they are, but then you step back and you go, wait a minute, maybe they haven't been properly trained. Maybe they don't have a process that supports that training so that every time they get on that phone or every time they deal with somebody at that desk, that they do it well and they do it with a level of commitment and a level of accountability. So that's where that implementation starts at, is just evaluating what your programs look like, and then we can begin to build from there.
Yes, and starting right at the beginning, because if you don't have it at the beginning, I could go through whatever program it is, but if there's no accountability, that's a great one. No accountability, well, how do we know what's happening? And if I don't have a routine and I don't know this is standard operating procedure, which you understand that, if you don't have the SOP, what's going to happen, right?
Oh, absolutely. You know, as an airline pilot, people are amazed. What I say, Kate, is that I have shown up to the airplane, never having flown to that destination, never having met that fellow pilot before a day in my life. And guess what? There's a 200,000-pound airplane, and there's 200 people in the back of that airplane, and they trust that we will get them there safely. And the company trusts that we will execute that job safely. Why and how can we do that? It's because they've provided us with the right training, and they provided us with the right processes by way of a standard operating procedure, by way of checklists, and other things that allows us to implement that training every single time.
Yeah, that's the key. All right, Jason, so if people want to find you when your feet are on the ground anyway, where can they do that?
They can absolutely find me. My website is nofailtrust.com. If you go to nofailtrust.com, you'll find a little bit of her information about me. And if you want to email me, feel free to email me at jason@nofailtrust.com. And you can also send me a text, call at 719-203-7257.
All right, people are going to be calling you for rides. I know it. Come on, take me up. I want to open that big bird. It was just wonderful to have you on the show. Thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you so much, Kate. It's a pleasure and honor, and I appreciate you so much.
This is
Kate Delaney. I am truly amazed by this audience. Many of you have been reaching out to me to ask more on what I call the No Drone Zone. How do you find out about the show or listen to podcasts or guests or even my books? So here we go. Go to katedelaneyradio.com for more on what's shaking in my orbit. To reach me, simply hit the contact tab and send an email. Behind the scenes photos, great video, travels, the dog, yeah, that's Guinness, he is the mascot. Go to Kate Delaney fan page on Facebook, Kate Delaney fan page on Facebook, or hit me up on Twitter at Kate S. Delaney, at Kate S. Delaney. For any of my books, including Deal Your Own Destiny, Amazon simply is the easiest. Thanks for listening as we talk about what's happening in my backyard and yours and how it affects us. We throw in laughs, cheap movie reviews, the man cave, and authors with some interesting stories to tell. If you've already forgotten everything I've just said, just go to katedelaneyradio.com.
Do you know someone with a drug or alcohol problem? Get help now. Insurance may cover everything. Stop the drug and alcohol nightmare. Call 800-284-0523. Learn how through the Family Medical Leave Act, you can leave your job without losing your job. Locations everywhere. Get immediate help for drug and alcohol problems. Call now. 800-284-0523. 800-284-0523.
Have you ever watched a video on the internet and found yourself waiting for the skip the ad button? The reason this takes a few seconds is because the video delivery companies get to collect impression commission, and the viewer never sees the advertisement. The company still pays full price to run the ad. Does this sound like a scam to you? Is there any wonder why internet ads are so ineffective? For over 100 years, radio has been a proven source for companies' messages. Radio listeners are engaged and want to support the companies that sponsor the shows they're so passionate about. Simple companies like window treatments, security, pillow companies, and more have been able to break away from the big box stores, building multi-million dollar businesses. Find out what radio can do for your business. Call 877-996-4327 or advertise at gcnlive.com. That's advertise at gcnlive.com.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire fireplace grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Wow, I had such a great off-air conversation with our next guest. He's an author, and he joins us on Author's Corner here on America Tonight. His name is Terry Joe Gunnels, and he's got this whole series, a couple of books called, then we're going to start with this one, The Landlord's Inheritance. It starts from there, and it's really fascinating. It grabs you as you get into this. And I always say that you write what you know. So some of what he's writing about and these characters that he's fleshed out, I think are partly because that he invested in real estate and he is a licensed building contractor and he gets that whole thing when it comes to real estate. And you'll understand what I mean, especially with this first one. And again, the book is called The Landlord's Inheritance. That's where we start. Terry Joe, thanks for hanging with us.
Well, thank you for having me on the show, Kate. I appreciate it.
So tell us about this novel and stepping into this and creating Mickey Ray and Darcy Jean and all of that. How did this happen?
Very quickly, I was working on one of my properties. I still do that at 71 years old. I work on it myself, so I see what's going on. And I got hurt and I couldn't work. So I said, instead of sitting around doing nothing, I will start writing. And because I could type. And that's it. 6 weeks later, I had a rough draft of my book. And 9 months after that, then, hey, you know, I got the book in hand. So I was very proud of that.
Yeah, no kidding. Tell us about the story. Tell us about The Landlord's Inheritance.
Okay. Well, you know, it starts out in Mickey. He's working on a property, and he gets a call to go to the hospital. His parents have been in an accident. When he gets there, they tell him his mother has actually died as a result of the injuries, and they launch a police investigation and found out that it was actually an attempted murder, trying to kill their father, his you know, his sister Darcy, and then you know, Mickey Ray. And so then he decides that, okay, you know, we're gonna find out what this done, because the police are just don't seem to be working to suit him. And that's when it actually takes off, as you know, he does that. And then his best friend, who is a disabled veteran, James comes in. He's gonna help his friend. Well, James has talents and skills that Mickey knows nothing about. So he brings that in because he is, disabled physically, mainly his looks because of burns and stuff like that resulting from accident in the military. He comes in with his black ops talents and skills and helps him solve it and take care of everything. So in the end, you know, I have to say, okay, it turns out fine. But, yeah, there's a lot of action and, you know, revealing different things. And Mickey comes up. He's quite surprised. How did you learn that? I can't tell you. You know, word is coming. Don't ask. So James can't reveal his sources or nor the extent of his skills. And they're best friends, but James can't talk about it.
Wow. And, you know, you had so much fun with this one. You've got a landlord series, basically. And, you know, one of them, The Landlord's Dead Body. I just love it. I love the titles because they pull you right in. Tell us about that.
Okay. As you said, that's the third one in the series. And that's a real mystery all the way through to the end. By the third book, Mickey has actually grown and matured, and he is the CEO of the largest construction company in Virginia, the fictional town of Bridgeton. And he and his father worked together to begin a new development and expansion. And they go out on the very first day. They break ground for an apartment building, and the backhoe operator, in digging a footing, he digs up a dead body. And, you know, so, okay, what is this? Well, they find out that it's a little small town. It's a girl, a woman, young woman. And Mickey actually went to school with this girl. So this is on our property. And further checking and find out she actually did rent an apartment in another complex. So she is a tenant on our property. We knew this girl in school. We're going to find out who killed her and why. And, of course, you don't find out who, what, or why until the last chapter of the book. You know, I tried to keep people, you know, in suspense the whole way. I certainly hope that I did a good job of that.
You did. There's something about your characters, too. They're normal people, I guess I would say, kind of living their lives, and then all of a sudden they're involved in all of these things that unfold. And I think that's part of what makes it so interesting, right? Just living your life, and then you're pulled into these crazy things. And as I said, this is a series, so I know that you've got others that you're working on. Give us a sneak peek about what's coming up down the road.
Well, the second one, to back up a little bit to that one, this takes place obviously right after the first. Mickey is wandering through one of his apartment complexes, finds a little girl in a wheelchair, and he begins questioning the girl. The girl said, well, Mama left me, and she'll be right back. Well, when she doesn't come back, Mickey knows that something has happened to the little girl's mother, because a mother would not leave a disabled child out in the middle of, you know, an apartment complex for no reason. So something is wrong. And they go through and eventually reunite the little girl with both of her parents. Now, the one right after the third one, right after the dead body, Mickey is at work, and his fiance, that's the name of it, the landlord's ex-fiance, he is working in his office, and he gets a call from the police in Florence, Oregon, literally on the West Coast. And this is from the police. They say, this girl is, you know, she is dead, and we found your number in her cell phone. You know, why did she call you last night? Well, as it turns out, the girl was killed. That was his ex-fiancée, who is actually takes a major part in the very first book, Valerie. So he flies out to pick up her body when he finds out the police have decided it was a murder. And they're going to start the investigation. Well, when Mickey tells his friend James, James flies out to support his best friend. They find out his murder. The police, being a small town, just do not have the resources. So they bring in an entire team of black ops people, and they go through the whole thing again. You know, a lot of action, and I can't say a whole lot more. It'll give away the whole storyline. But you know, with James and the black ops team, they come in and they bring down another network of I'll say criminals, and you know, then after that, then it's over, and James and Mickey's on his way home, and that's where they. Where the fifth one starts, you know, and that
wow.
one I literally have in the computer right now that I'm working on. You know, Mickey tries to help this girl when he stops, and next thing you know, he wakes up in a hospital, total amnesia, doesn't know himself or anything. So we're working on that one right now.
I like it. I can almost visualize this on a screen, like a series, who knows, a streaming series or something else, because your writing is so, the characters are so vivid, they just jump off the page. There's no doubt about that, Terry. I mean, really. So what do you hope people take away from reading any of the Landlord series?
Well, the one thing that several people have told me personally, and they left it on some of the reviews and everything online, that as you mentioned in the beginning, that these are just plain ordinary people, and then suddenly they're hit with this, and they feel the need to, you know, help themselves, you know, to get some closure on a particular thing, and of course, you know, as I said, the Black Ops team, Mickey, Darcy, and so on, you know, they're very close-knit, and when something happens to one, it happens to all of them, and they go out, you know, and try to take care of, you know, try to protect their own, so to speak. So, but anyways, is lesson somebody actually posted, they said, it seems like that there are a lot of little mini everyday lessons that you can pick up from these books. And I have to say, that wasn't deliberate, but in some cases, I did put my own thoughts and ideas, you know, express that through my characters, and people picked up on that, which I didn't realize I was writing. But you know, it's nice to know that someone feels like that, okay, they can walk away with a little life lesson out of a book.
Yeah, I think that's true. Very, very true. Terry Jo Guttles, we could talk all day. You can get these books on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever great books are sold. Thank you.
Thank you very much for having me, Kate.
Hey guys, why settle for poor quality Powdy Arco that's sold by stores and online resellers when you can get Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdy Arco Super Tea at drinksupertea.com or 818-965-9113. The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdy Arco Super Tea is only available at drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Heal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.